Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
It is about 11 minutes past 10 o'clock. A couple of guests in our studio today. We're going to be talking about the Huron County Farm Bureau's Project Red coming up next month. That's Rural Education Day, if I remember correctly. Our guests are Leanne Schutte. She's the Huron County Farm Bureau Promotion and Education Chairperson, and also Charlene Hagen, co-founder of Project Red. Thanks for being with us, ladies. And this has been going on a number of years, Project Red.
14 years.
And has it grown, or I understand it's actually kind of diminishing because of the student populations going down?
Yeah, actually in 1998, Debbie Kabotsky and I decided this would be a really good program to get students on the third grade level and a chance to learn more about agriculture, especially agriculture in our county, some of the products that are produced and everything like that. And when we approached the schools, we were overwhelmed because we ended up with over 800 students coming and all the schools participating. Well, just due to lower enrollment, our numbers are down to just over 500 students this year. So it's dropped like 300 students, but we've changed our program around a little bit. We used to have two sessions in which we would housed usually half at one and half at the other, but we changed that a couple years ago, and we now have just one session. They start out with a main session, and then they go into 10 other breakout stations that they visit through the rest of their program day.
Why the third graders? Is that a good age to get them? They're old enough to understand, but they're still kids and not jaded. Is that a good age to hit them with this?
Exactly. It's a perfect age, mainly because they've been in school a few years, so they appreciate the fact that they're going on a field trip. But they're young enough that they don't even realize they're learning that day. They are learning things that they've never seen before, and even local kids that grow up on farms a lot of times will talk about or point out things to parents that they know something about now that they didn't know before. And we always have a poster contest following Project Red for any of the schools that want to participate. And it is extremely interesting to see what the kids come back with that day, what their main point of interest was, what the thing was that most shocked them that they had never seen before. And they're great, great pictures.
And that would be surprising to some people. You know, you think city kids who know nothing about a farm, but this is a very rural area, and anywhere you go between towns, you're seeing farms. So, but there's still a lot that the kids can learn, perhaps about even if they live on a farm, what happens at another farm that does a totally different farming.
Right, right. That's exactly what happens. And a lot of times, even kids that live on family farms, you know, maybe they're not allowed to approach some of the big equipment at that third grade age level, or be in the field when things are being sprayed or things like that. And they need to be taught that even though they're spraying crops, that, you know, if things are handled properly and that there are rules and regulations farmers have to follow, that It's safe. It is safe, and you have to just be careful. And they learn to respect what's out there, and they're just more excited to learn about these things that they've been seeing in the fields as they go down the road, just headed to the grocery store. And holy cow, did you know that these beans in this can could have come from that field right there? It's a big deal to third graders. They're excited at that level.
And farmers nowadays are a little more protective just because of all the regulations and such. I know I've gone on tours, you know, as an adult, and you have to wear booties when you go into places because they have animals. And, you know, in the old days, you know, well, cow, you didn't worry about it. But today you worry about disease being spread and stuff like that. So they may not have access to all this stuff even on their own farm.
And this is a big deal. We always, the Protsmans bring dairy cows and little calves, and this is sometimes, you know, for some kids, their only opportunity to ever be able to touch a cow or pet a calf, and that's a big thing for the kids. They always love animals, and to be able to get right up there, and Mr. Protsman just does a great job of interacting with the kids and explaining the cow's teeth, and you know, from head to toe, he gets them all interested and excited about learning about those cows.
And along in his station too, he has a milker that is turned on, and the kids get to stick their finger in the milker and feel what it feels like, you know, what the cow's feeling when they're milking the cows. That's why it's been a big hit also.
Well, it's the tactile thing that, you know, you can try to explain it to a third grader, or you can let them experience it, and they obviously wouldn't let you really do that on the farm because it's not sanitary and you'd spoil all the milk in the bin that you have to sell to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to have the cows again this year? Are other kinds of animals going to be there too?
We will have the cows there. They will have the milking experience. We also have horseshoeing. They actually see, we have several horses that get brought in.
So you don't have the two stakes and they throw the horseshoes.
No,
this is
no,
a different
no.
kind of horseshoeing.
Yes, they're actually nailing the horseshoes on the horses. The kids get to see that and experience that. That's been very educational. We're going to have sheep shearing this year, where they're going to see, the kids are going to watch somebody, you know, shear a sheep and be able to feel the wool and what it feels like before and after. So that'll be a good experience.
And just to add to that, Don Coghlan and his crew have been doing this program with us for all 14 years. And you would think that maybe some of the teachers are thinking, gee, that's getting old, but it's just the opposite. The horseshoeing is one of the most popular things that we have. That's why we have Don coming back every year.
And, you know, it doesn't get old for the kids because you get basically a new crop of kids every year.
Yep. We basically do, in the beginning, the country schools that would attend would generally bring their entire classes. So that's why we try to change up part of the program. And at this time now, we only have one country school that she continues to bring her entire class because she just loves the experience that the kids get.
We've lost a couple of country schools along the way too. So
we have.
Now, how is this funded? Is this something Farm Bureau does? Is this something donations? Do people step up like the gentleman who does the horseshoeing and all of that, and they just kind of donate their time?
They certainly do. Huron County Farm Bureau does put a little bit of money into the project, but it's overwhelming the amount of support we get from our community groups, different farm organizations, and the people that attend this day do it of their own free will. We have people lined up to have sessions, and they enjoy talking about their life, their livelihood, and the good that, you know, Huron County farmers and area farmers are doing for the world and stuff. And it's pretty much funded just on donations.
And how have donations been going? It's been a rough year for a lot of fundraising groups, especially the last couple of years. Has Project Red kept its own?
Project Red has kept its own. The funding is still strong. Our local farm community, farm agribusinesses, they support, you know, agricultural education, and it's been very overwhelming. We have not seen a decline in our donations at all.
Because agricultural education is important to have the next generation of farmers coming out, because, you know, they have to come from somewhere, and they have to get that spark that this might be something neat to do.
Yeah, most kids that attend this day are probably 3-4 generations off the family farm. You know, you could go back another, you know, generation or a couple generations, and, you know, their grandparents, they'd experienced their grandpa's farm, you know, mom and dad had a farm kind of thing, but we're just getting further and further away from that. So it's very important that we continue to keep this education going.
Besides the animals, do you have other types of hands-on experience things that are going to be happening? Because there's a whole lot more to agriculture than just the animals.
Yes, we certainly do. We have a station that has usually some form of large piece of equipment where the children get to learn about what that does. They get their photo, their class photo taken with the piece of equipment. You know, for a third grader to walk up to these big tires and stand next to them and stuff, they just can't believe the size, you know, and what these pieces of equipment can do. We have that type of session. Ubley FFA will be doing a session on hamburgers. The FFA groups are great participants with us. They make it really fun for the kids. You know, they're going to be explaining where the bun comes from. They're going to be explaining where the hamburger comes from, you know, all the toppings and things like that. We have USA FFA does a program called Tone. They participate every year with us. We have lawnmower safety. You know, the kids can relate to that. They see mom and dads on lawnmowers, you know, and that also can be brought into the farming world with larger pieces of equipment.
And sometimes that's the first equipment kids really get on.
Yes, is the lawnmower.
Is a lawnmower.
Yep. Huron County Soil Conservation District also does a session for us. The Laker FFA will be doing our opening session, and they're going to be doing something that's Michigan See What We Grow. They're going to outline the state of Michigan, and they're going to kind of break it into regions and explain to the kids, you know, blueberries are grown here and apples here, and, you know, we have Michigan sugar here, just all different aspects of Michigan agriculture. The Laker FFA will also be doing one on pickles, you know, planting them, harvesting them, what's made, you know, what you use pickles for and stuff like that. And
trying to explain to them that when it's small, it's a pickle, when it's big, it's a cucumber.
Exactly, yep. They grow on vines, you know, kids just don't realize how some of these things are grown.
And they may even see them in the garden and just mom picks them and you don't really pay any attention until she's put them in a jar and you eat them at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a common problem for kids and adults too, that they just don't know where their food comes from, that it's you do the hamburger station you're talking about, well, that comes from the grocery store and we get that from the fruit market and we get that from, you know,
I just don't think they think about it anymore. I don't think parents think to explain that to their kids anymore. It's just there. You know, you get the groceries, you cook the meal, you put it on the table, everybody's happy. But, you know, it's important that the kids realize these things are grown by people that they know, and that the local fruit markets and the summer what do you call those?
The farmers markets.
Yeah, exactly. Those are going to be a big, big, big thing. I think they're getting bigger every year, and I think that's going to help educate the kids some more. And it's on a smaller level, but still they're going to realize that these things get picked out of people's yards or fields. And it's just so important that they realize it.
I have heard that and have read in some articles that people are getting more homegrown type of, locally grown and stuff is becoming more important to them than getting something that's shipped in from who knows where. And it's one way of knowing what is grown here and what you can get here.
Well, parents are paying a whole lot more attention in today's world about the benefits of fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, meats that they can go and get it from a butcher and actually know maybe exactly where that animal came from and who produced it or whatever. They realize that, you know, those fresh things are so much more healthy for their children. And, you know, so if the kids can kick in a little smart about, those peas came from over here or over there, or that cob of corn or whatever, the kids feel important that they know it, and they're going to carry that on. They will carry that on into the next generation.
Because in my generation back in the 60s, when you brought stuff home from the store, it was trying to figure out, now, how can I use this in a deep fryer?
Exactly.
And nowadays, people are trying to eat a lot healthier and starting with their kids, too.
Exactly.
We're going to pause 60 seconds, and we'll be right back.
What do you think of when I say the word retirement? Sunny days in Florida? A quiet lake in northern Michigan? Your first thought should be your Farm Bureau insurance agent. Farm Bureau has helped out thousands of Michigan people enjoy happier, more secure retirements. IRAs and annuities, a lifetime retirement income, big tax advantages, and competitive interest rates. Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company of Michigan is rated one of the 50 most outstanding life insurers in America. So call your Farm Bureau insurance agent today. Remember, it's not who you call after retirement, it's who you call before that makes the difference. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswack in Unionville, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Tim Fritz in Bad Axe, or Deb McBride or Corey Vollmer in Elkton.
Michigan, my Michigan.
We're back, and our guests today are Charlene Hagen and Leanne Schutte. We're talking about the Project RED Rural Education Day coming up next month. Well, actually, next month starts tomorrow, so it's not that far away, just a couple of weeks. You mentioned you give the kids goodie bags. What basically comes in a goodie bag? I mean, it obviously must vary year to year depending on the donations you get to go towards it, but what generally would you find in these things?
Well, the first thing that I would like to point out is we have a new 4-H group this year, Beef and More 4-Hers, that are going to come and bag the goodie bags for us. And that's a huge, tremendous job that gets done really rapidly, because I get the donations set up on tables at the Farm Bureau building and put these kids in an assembly line, and away they go from the bag till they finally put the goodie bag in the box. But they will see in there generally information sheets that may come from, like, the pork producers send us coloring books that are called the Piglet Press. It's geared towards the kids, but as they're coloring and reading, they're learning about pork. There's several with pencils, paper, you know, erasers, those kind of things, stickers and magnets. The corn growers give us popcorn, microwave popcorn for the kids. Bush Brothers beans send up little cans of Pop Top beans, which is just the biggest hit.
You have to keep telling them, wait till you get home. Don't
right,
pop the top
right.
now.
The teachers are really good about that. I think most of them keep the goodie bags all in boxes on the buses until they get back to school, and then they say, okay, you can have this before you go home.
You don't want one kid accidentally leaving it behind and being upset, and
yes.
who was the one
yes.
who left it behind.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, we never give them any of the goodie bags to carry around or anything like that. They get treats while they are there. They get popcorn, they get milk, they get cheese sticks, they get ice cream, they get cotton candy. Yeah, we treat them pretty good during the day. They get bottled water.
We have dairies in the area. We have the sugar company.
You're getting it.
All this stuff kind of fits in here.
You're getting it, yes. Yeah, and they actually even, they get dog food for their dogs. It's donated also. People have become, the sponsors have just become really innovative in their ideas and what they have come up with. You know, they get little bottles of glue, which actually come from that bovine animal. And, you know, they're amazed by that, but we put stickers on everything that says who donated it or why you're getting it, because where it comes from. And that's why I think our sponsors stay as generous as they do, because you are hitting every third grader home from one side of the county to the other. And when parents see that, that's a big deal. That's a big deal for them.
Well, and it'll click in with the parents, too, that, you know, these are people that are supporting my kids.
That's who I'm talking about. That, you know, when they, because we have had parents that will say, oh, we saw this in there, and, you know, my child said we got to go buy some more of this because it was in there. Well, every little bit helps.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well in my generation with Popeye and spinach, but okay.
Yeah, gotcha.
But the people donate this, and again, every year they seem to step up to the plate for you.
Right. And some, you know, if they do give us a cash donation, we tend to apply that to something that maybe we have to purchase.
The bags to put them in, things like that, if they're not donated.
Right. They get a meat stick every year, and we take some of the donated money and mow our meat packing, they donate some of them, and we put that together, and the kids get a meat stick. And, I mean, this is a pretty good treat bag. There's cheese and crackers in there, and there's granola bars, and kids hit it up pretty good. And actually, I have to say, here in County, we've had visitors from other Project Reds, other counties of Project Reds, and we will give them a goodie bag to take home with them so they see what is in our goodie bag. And they are in total amazement at what we have in there, because they are not able to round up half of the stuff that we have. And I don't know where they're going, but...
Well, we do happen to be in one of the largest agricultural counties in
yes.
the state of Michigan, which is an advantage when you're talking about an agricultural
yes.
program. I mean, if you're doing this in Wayne County, and the only farms you have are, you know, tiny little ones that are specializing in something, and that's about it.
Right, right. We, you know, like Leanne said, our volunteers, they range from FFA students to some of the lending institutions. Like Leanne and the people she works with come and volunteer. Those are the kind of people that are stepping up and wanting to be seen there as part of that program, because they think it's so important. You know, the Farm Bureau insurance agents are there all day, and they're helping deliver the lunches and put the goodie bags on the buses and things like that. You know, the local newspapers that cover us, and you guys, you know, giving us time to talk about this program. The sheriff's work crew that comes and does the bulwark at the fairgrounds for us, they, in the beginning, we had to have, you know, farmers come and help us and do some of this stuff, and it's really difficult this time of the year for farmers to get away, and it took a lot longer to get things done as compared to now. These guys come in and they're there for a half a day, and the fairgrounds is set up for us. You know, again, we need to thank the fair board and the county commissioners for letting us use the facilities over there. And the girls at the Farm Bureau office, I don't know what we'd do without Laura and Debbie there, because they're just hand over fist working crazy. It comes on the heels of the annual meeting, and so it's really, you know, a busy time, but they do so much for us that we can't thank them enough.
Is the timing important for Project Red? I mean, you're doing it right at the beginning of the school year. I know you don't want to do it when it gets nasty, and you don't want to do it when the harvest season's in really full gear. So is timing kind of a factor in its chosen dates?
The reason we chose this particular date, a lot of Project Reds are done in the spring, and consequently, a lot of schools use that as their spring field trip. We did not want to interfere with that. We used the big arena at the fairgrounds. We didn't know what the condition would be to do that a month after they drain that from the hockey season. We don't know really what our weather is going to be like in May. And it's planting season, and Debbie Kabotsky and I are both actively involved in our farms. And so when we started this, we tried to pick a day when we were the least busy and the kids were in school. And so we chose this time of the year, and we realized it was really, really hard for the schools and the teachers to conform to it. When we first started, school was in session before Labor Day. So it wasn't as hectic as it is now for them, but it being our 14th year, they know ahead of time, you know, they know way the previous year, they know it's coming, they contact the school board and say, can we have this day, and they plan for it way ahead. So it was the least busiest time for us, and it didn't interfere with us working on our farms in our tractors, so that's why we chose that day.
Didn't have to do with the fact that things are actually coming into ripeness, where you have more to show than you might have in May, when everything's either that big coming out of the ground, about a half an inch, or just a seed.
No, it really, you know, it wasn't that big of a factor. We would have adjusted to whatever we needed to do. we would have attempted to, you know, in a greenhouse or some type effect, have one of the FFA groups maybe grow some of these commodities ahead just enough for sample situations or something like that. But we knew weather-wise we had a better shot of a fair ground being dry, and that was a big thing. We didn't want a lot of mud and stuff like that. And in May, you just don't know what you're going to get yet. So that's why we did that. We don't interfere then with final exams, you know, with which really I guess third graders you don't deal with so much, but still the end of the year hecticness of the school. This is the kids get to school, they have a week there, and then the next week they already have a field trip. And it just kind of helps ease them back into school somewhat too, but surprise, surprise, you're learning something this day.
Don't tell them that. They won't come. The kids don't want to think they're learning something. That's what they go to school for, not to go see the cattle in the barn. You do have a lot of corporate sponsors that help you out in this too. Any particular big ones you wish to name? Or?
Bush Brothers.
The Bean
out
People.
With Tennessee.
Yeah, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Now, how do they get involved? Do they just do this for all of them? Or is this something that you have to actively seek these people out? Because it seems like, you know, you could go down to the local agricultural business and say, you know, this is for our kids. And they're, yeah, my kids, you know, I have grandkids that age or whatever. You know, that seems like it would put the whole company out of state. Seems kind of hard.
The first year, when we were looking for sponsors and ideas of things to put in the goodie bags, my husband and I on our farm grew a lot of navy beans. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, that was a product that I was going to insist get in the bag some way or another. And so I went down to the elevator in Ubley where we deliver most of our beans and talked to the guy down there. And I said, what are the chances we could get a little can of beans? I had seen them in the grocery store, so I knew they were out there. They have a pop top on them, and I just went and kind of pushed the issue a little bit. Well, we got the beans, and it was great. The kids loved them. We did it for 2 years, and the third year there was a kind of a glitch in who was supposed to pick up what and when, and the beans didn't get delivered to me. So the third year of Project Red was the only year we didn't have Bush beans in the goodie bags. And that following winter, the gentleman who is the area representative for Bush beans for the whole Midwest came to Ubley, and I insisted on meeting him, and he gave me his card. And now every time he comes to Michigan, he visits and has coffee at my house. And so we have a very good connection with Bush beans, and that's how that transpired.
Does he bring the talking dog?
No, he doesn't. But he he has spoken at the Farm Women's Symposium. He did that last winter and was a real hit there, because I guess he did bring a movie there with Duke, and everybody had a big time out of that one. But that was how we got connected with Bush Brothers.
But these are things that evolve over the years then.
Well,
you get these connections and they
exactly
keep coming back for you.
And like he said, I would never, actually something happened with him this year that he had shipped them to one locale, and before we got a chance to get them picked up, the beans disappeared into thin air and nobody knows where they went. And he actually issued me another whole set of beans. He said, your program will not be without these beans. That's the intensity we get.
Well, terrific. Sounds like you've got this thing rolling, and it's just a matter of tweaking and updating each year. You know what you want, and you've got a whole new batch of third graders coming every year, so it's not like you have to worry that you're losing your audience. So it sounds like a terrific program, and I assume you're already starting to scratch your heads about next year.
Definitely. It's always in the back of our minds. How can we make it even better?
You've had, this will be your 14th year. We talked a little bit before the program, and you did have one year that the 10th anniversary is coming up, and it actually happened to be that day. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened that September 11th?
Well, needless to say, it took everybody by surprise, and our kids were already in their breakout sessions that year. They were seeing demonstrations, and someone, I have no idea, someone up in the expo center where most of the adult volunteers are still working things out up there and stuff, someone got a phone call or whatever, and we just made an instant snap decision that we were going to continue with the program that day. We didn't want to scare the kids. We didn't want a panic session. So all of us kind of dispersed. We went and contacted every teacher at every station, explained what had happened, and we left it up to the teachers whether they wanted to stay or they wanted to take their students back to the school. I'm happy to say they all stayed. And that was, again, when we had two separate sessions. The afternoon session, I think all but one school came, and so we had an afternoon session, and the kids had a wonderful time, and they didn't have to experience the horror of all of that until, probably not until they got home and actually seen things on TV or whatever. But
they have a good memory. A part of that day.
They do. And kids are very versatile and flexible, and they were having fun. You know, they were having fun, and we did not want to take that away from them with something that horrible that they had nothing to do with, and none of us could do anything about it. And so we continue with the day just to try and keep things as normal as it could possibly be.
And in these types of instances, it's usually up to the family how they want to broach it with children and how much they think they can handle and such. And so it almost is like their place anyway.
Correct.
So you've had a colorful history with Project Red then.
The best part, or one of the best parts, there's so many good things that have come out of it. We have had teachers that have retired from teaching and call us up and say, you know, can we be a part of Project Red? We want to volunteer. And when you get a third grade teacher calling you and saying those things to you, now you know you're doing a good thing. You're teaching, and they appreciate that. The parents that have been there as volunteers that approach you when they see you and talk about something they saw and how much fun that was for their child, or something that was in their goodie bag that they worked with it with their child doing the activity pages or something like that. Some of the biggest comments and kicks that I get are the FFA students that are there now and have graduated that were there when they were in the third grade, and they will tell you what they remember seeing that day when they visited Project Red. And you can hear some of them when they are the guides now in Project Red saying, you know, when I was here, this guy did this and this and this with the horseshoes, but he didn't do what he's doing right now. And that's why these little kids, they just look in awe, because these are high school kids leading them around. You know, they're not adults that they don't know. They always feel like they know a high school student, and it just makes it so much more fun. And it I don't want to say it practically runs itself, but it's so much smoother, of course, than when we started, and it's fun for everybody now.
I wish you well this coming September the 14th. 13th. It's the 14th year. I had the right numbers.
There you go.
It's in the wrong order. It's the 14th year on September 13th. And if people are, say, homeschooling their kids, they can still get in on this if they want to come. How do they do that? Do they need to just call the Farm Bureau office?
Yes.
Or you? Or?
Yes, they should call the Farm Bureau office.
And they can give you all the particulars of who, what, when, and where to be. And
exactly.
You'll be on the list. And that way they'll know your kid's coming, so they have a goodie bag and all the stuff for them, too.
Right, yes.
And obviously, if you're bringing your kid, you have to stay there with them and chaperone them.
Exactly.
Because no kid's left unattended.
Correct.
And I appreciate you taking time to come out today, and good luck on the 15th year you're already starting to think about, but we'll get you through the 14th year on the 13th mm-hmm. of
Thank
September.
You. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Our guests today on the program have been Leanne Schutte and also Charlene Hagen, talking about Project Red Rural Education Day coming up on the 13th of September. For all the third graders in Huron County who want to participate. Coming up at the top of the hour, 11 o'clock, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.